Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with us on this eighth day of December 2018. We're going to be looking at what is the way and a little insight into the Tao. Just think you might find some interest in this. I have received some interesting questions over the last couple of months due to people listening to the radio program about, well, spirituality. What constitutes deep spirituality? And where are we with that? We're going to take a look at that. I want to remind you that we are in our fundraising drive, working very diligently. Hopefully that you will help us sustain this radio program by making a gift. We're blessed with a man who has come into our life quite a few years ago and will match donations. And you have no idea how much this means to Aspire and to me personally. So I want to thank him, our mystery donor, as he likes to be called, for his kindness and his support. But he will only be as supportive as you are. When you make a gift to Aspire, whether you become a sponsor or whatever you choose to do, maybe just a one-time, a year-end gift, he will match that. And that's a very, very important thing for us. It's how we pay for airtime. It's how we do everything. So without your gift, well, where would we be? Certainly not on the radio, not doing TV, me not being at hospice. It would be very, very difficult. So I hope that you will become a sponsor, choose to maybe help us. It's very, very important, and I couldn't thank you enough for your donations. I will send you a receipt for your income taxes. They are tax deductible, and please make a donation. If these radio programs have meant anything to you, your support means everything to us. Let's talk about the way. I get lots of questions about what is the way? How does the way work? What do you mean by the way? So we're going to do this. The first question comes from Ted in Las Vegas. He says, I listen to you often and want to thank you. Can you tell me what is the meaning of the way as you put it? This is so hard to talk about. He has been watching my series on the Tao on TV. You can watch it on the website at aspire.org. It's the From the Heart of the Tao. There's a couple of series about the Tao there, so go look at them. Let me read you something that might help in all of this, and I offer this to you as an answer, not as a matter of ducking the question. What is the Tao? Asked Chao Chu. Your ordinary mind is the Tao, said Nanxin. How can it be found? Asked Chao Chu. By searching for it, it is lost. But, persisted Chao Chu, without searching, how can it be found? Nanxin, the master, replied. The Tao is neither found nor lost, neither known nor not known. It belongs to no category. Knowing it is impossible, not knowing is folly. Understanding the Tao is like understanding empty sky. This has nothing to do with opposites. So, Ted, listen to me. Our mind thinks in opposites. Our mind thinks this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. This is the way we think, in opposites, in contrasts. We create for ourselves conflict. So we think in conflictual ways. This is not to be confused with the idea of paradox. A paradox is different. To give it a definition, according to the dictionary, a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory contradictory statement or proposition that, when investigated or explained, may prove to be founded or true. Well, who knows if it's well-founded or true? If you step back, you will see paradox is the way in which an enlightened person describes to those of us who are not the meaning of enlightenment itself. It may seem absurd or afflicting even at times, contradictory. It may be a position that, may prove to be founded or unfounded. It doesn't matter. Listen to what Chao Chu is saying. He is saying, what is the Tao? When he gets the answer, he is perplexed. The Tao is neither found nor lost, neither known nor not known. It belongs to no category. Knowing it is impossible, not knowing is folly. You have to know it, but you can't know it. Understanding the Tao is like understanding an empty sky. This has nothing to do with opposites. We think in opposition to thoughts. We pit one thought against another thought, against another thought, against another thought. This is our reasoning, this is our logic, and this is why we miss. Now, the mind that is created in meditation, the mind that evolves out of meditation, the mind that rises to the top, this mind from meditation is neither for nor against. It lives comfortably in the paradox of itself. To search for logical answers, reasonable answers, a person has to give up the meaning of the answer itself. I have found in my own inner work that when I'm looking for an answer, I am reducing the possibilities of that answer, and not only that there is no answer, and yet the answer is everywhere. When I am no longer seeking to struggle and fight for answers, for thoughts, for beliefs, when I am no longer pitting one thought against another thought, that is when I'm in my ultimate creativity. That is when I find the meaning of it. So let me give you this. This is wisdom from the Tao, and this is paradox, Ted, but this will help you. Close your eyes, and you will see clearly. Cease to listen, and you will hear truth. Be silent, and your heart will sing. Seek no contact, and you will find union. Be still, and you will move with the tide of the spirit. Be gentle, and you will need no strength. Be patient, and you will achieve all things. Be humble, and you will remain entire. That whole statement, that is paradox, that teaching, and it comes from the Tao. So, to know it with my human mind is impossible. Yet, not knowing it, my life becomes, as Nanin said, folly. So, you're in a place where you are no longer thinking in terms of right and wrong, good and bad. Buddha put it this way, a mind no longer seeking what is right and wrong or good and bad is a clear mind. This takes practice, Ted. Ultimately, it is all about practice. This is why we call it a practice. You have to really work at it. And if you can remind yourself that nothing is the way you think it is, you will come to a place where everything becomes extremely clear to you. In that clarity is the ultimate understanding. You ask me, can you tell me what is the meaning of the way? The way cannot be known. It can't be taught. It can't be thought. It is something that is deeply known inside. It is something that is the evolution of no mind, a mind not laboring, fighting, trying to get its way. Just watch. Just watch. And if you just watch and listen without the agenda of understanding, without the agenda of being right, without the agenda of self-preservation, of logic and reasoning, your mind will open up. You will see things very clearly. That is the Tao. That is the way. And that is why meditation is so important. It clarifies. It clarifies without knowledge. It clarifies without reason and logic. It simply clarifies. Something for you to be with, Ted. I hope that serves you well. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question from Raymond. He does not tell me where he lives. If there is a way, Greg, why do we have to find it? Why shouldn't it just be there for us, clear and distinct? Ray. Ray, it is there. It is clear. It is distinct. It is right there. I can't see it because my eyes and my ears betray me. My eyes and ears belong to logic and reasoning. My eyes and my ears belong to the Gregory. He listens and sees things only out of what he can think. And his thinking is demented. It's stilted. It's prejudicial. So his thinking comes from his genetic nature. It doesn't come from his authentic heart. It comes from his human heart. The minute you enter into a physical body, you have distorted everything because the body is only thinking about itself and its own survival. So we distort many aspects of ourself. We distort the meaning of our life because we are so busy living in the comprehension of our human emotionality, which is always in fear, frightened of our, well, our survival, our need to survive. So, what do? The way is very clear, but it can't be clear to the Gregory, the way my Gregory works. He is just human, and he makes mistakes. He is not interested in anything other than pleasure over pain, right over wrong, good over bad in his mind. And that's all he can do. You have to see the same thing with yourself, Raymond, that you're only interested in, if you're doing Raymond, the body that wants to survive. And living in a body that merely wants to survive, you will sacrifice insight. You will not be able to see clearly or hear the truth. You will not be able to listen silently to the heart. You have to get very quiet to listen to the heart. And we spend a great deal of our time in noise, making noise. Meditation is the practice of silence. It is the practice of union in silence. It takes a great inner strength to meditate. It is not making your mind a blank like people want to believe. With no thought, it is the passivity of thought. When you see a thought arise, you do not jump on it. You do not engage it. You do not compliment it or hate it. You simply watch your breath. You become passive towards the thought. I always tell my students, if you were as passive towards your thoughts as you are what I am trying to teach you here, you would be enlightened by now. You would be awake. You would know the way. But to my students, like most people, are infatuated with their thoughts. Oh, their thoughts are so interesting to them. And yet they are repetitive thoughts. Thoughts that go around and around and around. They're the same thoughts they've always had. But what I am trying to teach you is a space. And if you find that space, that gap, that pause between thoughts, between one thought and another, you will awaken. You will eventually find there is a new mind, a mind that is not pushing and shoving and aggressive. It is a very beautiful mind. Let me give you a little story. The prince discovered when he returned from the top of the mountain that he had mislaid a pearl of great price upon the mountain. He sent his generals and their armies to search for it, but they could not find it. He employed a very powerful Taoist to go and find it. But the Taoist was unable to find it. He sent his gardeners and skilled artists to find it, but they could not find it. They too came home empty-handed. Finally, in despair, having tried everyone, he sent the Purpleless to the mountain. The Purpleless found the pearl immediately. How odd it is, mused the prince, that it was the Purpleless that found it. What is the Purpleless? It is a person who has no seeming purpose at all, who does not see the logic of reason, the logic of self-righteousness, a person who is simply a person. They have no particular purpose. Raymond, you have purpose. You want probably many things. You even want to understand my answer. It is a very difficult thing to understand because it has no purpose to it. My purpose here on radio is not to have or gain purpose with you, or to show you even the purpose. I am here to present the paradox to you, the absurd, the self-contradictory stuff that makes Zen and makes the Tao so beautiful. If you do not have the kind of compassion that would make you purposeless, then you will never understand the answer to your own question. Everything is there. Nothing is being hidden. Everything is in its perfect place, right here, right now. And only those who can close their eyes will see clearly, who will cease to listen to the chatter of the mind, will hear the answer. It is obvious. And Raymond, if you're anything like Gregory, he can't see anything that's put underneath his nose. He just can't, well, he has a big nose, but he can't see anything. He thinks he does, but he doesn't. If you want to hide something from the Gregory, put it right in front of him. He'll never find it. But when the Gregory is dropped, when his mind is dropped, when his wanting is dropped, when everything that would keep him from seeing and hearing clearly is dropped, just for that moment, You see, you and I are immersed in a clarity and a beauty that is beyond the conception of human understanding. Raymond, meditate, work upon yourself. Find the eyes to see, the ears to hear. Jesus even talked about it. Having eyes to see, you cannot see, he said. Having ears to hear, you cannot hear. Don't live by your genetics, your DNA. Listen, just listen. Please forgive me, Raymond. Namaste. And the last question. This person wanted to remain anonymous, so we will. What is the purpose of the way? Is not the way the meaning of life? And if so, why is it so obscure? The only things that are obscure to people like us is the obvious. It's just the way we're built. We live according to our mind, our emotions. Let me give you a little Taoist story. This might help you. A traveler through the mountains came upon an elderly gentleman who was busy planting a tiny almond tree. Knowing that the almond tree takes many, many years to mature, he commented to the man, "Sir, it seems odd that a man of your advanced age would plant such a slow-growing tree." The man replied, "I'd like to live my life based on two principles, and therefore I do. The first principle is that I will live forever. The other principle is that this is my last day here on earth." That is a typical Taoistic teaching. We exist somewhere in the middle. The purpose of the way is to show you that black and white are fine, but there's something in between that is the color of black and white. The things we need in this world today are not the things we can give ourselves because we are too busy living off the land of our logic and reasoning. It is extremely important that we understand this, what the logic and reasoning of our life is all about, and what is it all about? What are your feelings about logic and reasoning? How do you reason and logic out anything so you understand it? What is true understanding? Understanding typically comes from the idea of right and wrong, good and bad. What is beneficial, what is not. In living in such a manner, in thinking in such a manner, we lose the meaning of our life. We lose what it is that the Tao is really all about. Life is paradox. It is doing many things simultaneous to itself. And if I am not careful, I will miss that paradox. And I will live in the confines of a mind that is confused and berated by the totality of its own ignorance. I've met many a smart person in my day. But just because they were smart didn't mean they were wise. Wisdom comes in knowing the quality of a thought, where it comes from, what it's doing, and whether or not it is relevant to any given situation. For the most part, it is not. We seek love, oftentimes through hate. I have to go. I hope that helped you, Mr. Anonymous. Please forgive me. Namaste. I hope this helped you. I really do. I think these were wonderful questions. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.